Secure, secure, secure the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border, near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, I have just one announcement, and that is if you're interested in solar and solar chargers and solar charging solutions and batteries and chargers and solar panels, hang around to the Rag Chew portion of the night. KQ4, a.k.a. Wayne, will be presenting what he has learned. He's done quite a bit of work in that area, and he's going to be presenting what he learned while he was doing that in the Rag Chew portion of the net tonight. Anybody need any fills on that announcement? Okay, nothing heard. We'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the Rag Chew portion. And tonight being Saturday night, we'll begin with Alpha through Delta, but before we do that, we're going to recognize pre-net check-ins, Echolink stations, and brand new amateur radio operators. So starting with pre-net check-ins, we have K4XMR, that is Mel, he's in Prosperity, South Carolina. W4FCM, that's Fred, bring with him. N4IEI, that's Miss Isla, there in Traveler's Rest. KI4LJG, that's Bob in River Falls. KG4PFI, that's Don, bring with him. KG4QLQ, that's Miss Linda, there in Piedmont. W2AMD, that's Andrew in Simpsonville. N4JRB, that's Jim in Greer. KO4ZEW, that's Ben in Simpsonville. N4ASW, that's Tony in Asheville. Bring with him KQ4JSK, that's Kim in Asheville. AA4GS, that's Gus in Punta Gorda, Florida. KX4YM, that's Scott in Greenville. NC9V, that's Leon in Hendersonville. Bring with him KE4DXJ, that's Wendy in Hendersonville. And we'll do a refresh and make sure we didn't miss anybody. No, we did not miss anybody. So we would have done Echolink, but there's nobody logged into Echolink at the moment. So we're going to go to brand new amateur radio operators who have never checked into a net before and are not quite sure of what the protocol is, but would like to check into the net. Just throw your call sign out there and I'll do the rest. Okay, it doesn't look like we have any brand new amateur radio operators this evening, so we're going to jump right into the RF section of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening with Alpha through Delta. Session with the first letter in their suffix. It begins with an A through a D, and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW.
Good
evening, Dave. Please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar Quebec, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont and we'll all be short time tonight, Dave. 73, see you and all on the net.
DJW. Everybody on the net, please check in. Kilo Bravo 2, Bravo Yankee Quebec, KB2, BYQ. Dave and Easley, I'll be negative and negative tonight. 73 CU, everybody on the net.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize KK4DMW, that's Rick. Bring with him KK4ONO, that's Miss Lorena. And KM4MOQ, that's Miss Michelle. They're all in Piedmont, and they're going to be short time this evening. Rick, tell Miss Lorena and Miss Michelle we said hello, and feel free to secure at your leisure. We do appreciate you taking time to check in this evening. And KB2BYQ, that's Dave, sounding good out of Easley this evening. Good to have you tonight, Dave. Appreciate you taking the time to be here. Do we have any other stations, Alpha through Delta, that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
JW. Kilo, Quebec 4,
Kilo,
Alpha 4, Kilo, Echo. KQ4AKE, Wayne in Simpsonville, and I will be sticking around for the Rag Chew on the solar panel stuff.
Okay, next I'd like to recognize KQ4AKE, that's Wayne in Simpsonville. So I've got you down for comments, Wayne. We will be back to you right after the end of the formal portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening, and I think there's some people that are anxious to hear what you got to say. So appreciate you hanging around for that. Do we have any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
Hello. Please check in. This is Kilo Juliet 4, Bravo Kilo India, Royal Kilo, South Carolina. Y'all have a great one. I'll be in and out.
Okay, next I'd like to recognize KJ4BKI. That's Jack, all the way from Rock Hill, South Carolina, into the Caesars Head Repeater. You sounded good tonight, Jack. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this evening. All right, we're going to move it on up to the Echo Through Hotel group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an E through an H. And we'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
On the net, please check in Kilo Oscar Bravo 4, Hotel Kilo X-ray. KO4HKX, that's Patrick. I'm up here in Penrose. I have no comment, no traffic tonight, Dave. Thanks for calling that, sir.
W4DJW. Dave, please check in. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November. KC4EZN, Harry and Candler. I'll be negative and negative tonight, Dave. Thanks.
Kilo 4 Hotel November Romeo, K4HNR. This is Connor over here in Greenville, and I'll be negative and negative.
For DJW. For the 4 Foxtrot Hotel Juliet, Gene and Taylor's negative and negative. Over.
All right, that was a good group. Net Control, I'd like to recognize our Sunday night net control operator. That is KO4HKX, Patrick, in Penrose, North Carolina. Patrick, it sounds like your sinuses are easing up on you a little bit. You sound much better there. I hope that's the case and you're feeling a lot better. I know it's been kind of rough. KC4EZN, that's Harry. He's in Candler, North Carolina. Sounding good tonight, Harry. Do appreciate you being with us this evening. And K4HNR, that's Connor in Greenville. Good to have you this night, Connor. You're sounding good. And W4FHJ, that's Gene in Taylor's. Sounding good from Taylor's this evening, Gene. Do appreciate you hanging out with us this evening. Do we have any other stations in the Echo Through Hotel group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Check in at a turn. Kilo Golf 4, Whiskey November Papa. Landon Portable, take you still. In and out.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KG4WNP. That is Landon on the portable in Dacresville. Portable is making it to the repeater just fine, Landon. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Hope you're having a great weekend. All right, we're going to bump it up to the India through Lima group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an I through an L. And we'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
DJW. Dave, it's Whiskey 4, Juliet Echo Tango. That's WW4JET Matthew over here in the flight Table Rock. Good evening. No traffic tonight, no chew, just listening though. Thanks for calling that.
Hey, JCW, I didn't get right, Dave. Please check in Whiskey 4, India Oscar Echo. See it in Fletcher, North Carolina. Dave, that's what happens when you're doing about three different things to try to get somebody's call sign out. But anyway, W4DJW. There you go. But anyway, hope you and Miss Annie are well. Have a good evening. And hope everybody's having a good evening. And Dave, thank you so much for calling the net. And good evening to all the net. No traffic, no problem.
JW. On the net tonight, Dave. Please check in Kilo Echo 6, Kilo Echo November. That's KE6KEN. This is Ken in Greenville. I'll be negative and negative.
DJW. Kilo India 4, Lima Zulu India, KI4LZI, Indy Table Rock, no traffic, no round table, but I will be listening to the two so about the solar though, and if I have anything, I'll come in, have any questions.
Thank you for calling the net again for us tonight. Please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna. Kilo, Charlie 4, Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Mark us in and out, if you would, please. I hope everybody has a good night. 7-3.
DJW. And Kilo, Charlie 4, India, Victor, Papa.
D even Simpsonville, KC4IVP.
Okay, that was a wonderful group. Net Control, I'd like to recognize WW4JET. That is Matthew in Table Rock. Good to have you with us tonight, Matthew. Hope you're having a fantastic weekend. W4IOE, that's Sid. He's in Fletcher, North Carolina, and he calls the 146.64 net on Sundays. That's tomorrow night. 146.64 with a PL tone of 91.5. He calls it on Sundays at 8 o'clock, so be sure and pop in there tomorrow at 8 and give Sid a case of writer's cramp. I don't know if he uses a computer or a phone or a pen and a piece of paper, or a pencil and a piece of paper, but give him cramps, whichever way it is. Sid, appreciate you being here. Tell Miss Beverly we said hello and hope you guys are having a fantastic weekend. KE6KEN, that's Ken. He's in Grable. You're sounding good, Ken. Appreciate you being with us this evening. KI4LZI, that's Andy. He's in Table Rock. Andy, we appreciate any questions you come up with, because if you have a question, it's highly likely somebody else has that same question. So don't be afraid to jump in there and ask questions. I know you're not, and that is appreciated. KK4JBQ, that's Larry. He's bringing with him KEC4MFK. That's Miss Donna. They make their home in Greer. Larry, you sounding good? Tell Miss Donna we said hello and do appreciate you being with us this evening. And KC4IVP, that's Steve in Simpsonville. You sounding good, Steve? Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening as well. Do we have any other stations in the India through Lima group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
W. Kilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar. And I am James. I'm on this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. A little bit late getting in. I'll be just negative, negative, saying 53s for each one of you.
Okay, James, I was hoping that was going to be you. Neck until I like to recognize. KK4JFO, that's James in Tuxedo, North Carolina. Sounding good as usual, James. Appreciate you taking time to check in with us this evening. We do have an Echolink station, so we're going to recognize Echolink. Well, no, he bugged out. So no Echolink stations at the moment. He jumped in and jumped back out. Maybe he'll be back, and we'll check on him then. Let's see. We're in the India through Lima group, stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an I through an L. And when I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, that'll bring us to the Mike through Papa group, stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an M through a P. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
JW, please check in. Whiskey, Golf 4, Mike Charlie, WG4MC, Matt West from Greenwood County, B-Navy-Navy, 73 on the net.
Matt, you might have Mike through Papa all to yourself. That control I'd like to recognize. Our Thursday night net control operator, WG4MC, that's Matt in Western Greenville County, WGC. Good to have you with us tonight, Matt. Hope your weekend's going well and do appreciate you checking in with us this evening. And our Echolink station is back. Echolink station's only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, this is Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey, Tango, Quebec. This is Greg and Greer. I'll be standby. Thanks for taking the net, Dave. 73.
Okay, net control I'd like to recognize via Echo Link, KO4WTG, TQ, KO4WTQ. Sorry about that, Greg. And Greer, good to have you with us tonight, Greg. Hope you're doing well and appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. And sounds like you got Echo Link working good. Let's see, any other stations in the Mike through Papa group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, good evening, Dave. This is Kilo Quebec 4, November Hotel Bravo, KQ4, NHB, Danny, and Greenville, be negative and negative.
4DJW, please check in Kilo Quebec 4, Oscar Alpha Sierra, Robert Piedmont, I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize KQ4NHB, that is Danny in Greenville. Good to have you as night, Danny. You sounding good. And KQ4OAS, that's Robert in Piedmont. Good to have you as night, Robert. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Do we have any other stations in the Mike through Papa group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. All right, that's going to bring us to the Quebec through Tango group, stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a Q through a T. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Good evening, Dave.
TR, November 0, Tango Romeo. My name's Tom. I'm located in Greer. Good evening to you. No, I'm a net. I'll be negative and negative, sir.
W4DJW. Mayday, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Raymond Golf, KO4QLG. This is Chris in Liberty. And I'll be negative and negative. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Chris.
DJW. Kilo, Kilo 4, Tango, Romeo, Juliet. Bill, I'm a cop in it. Negative and negative.
Kilo Quebec 4, Quebec, Hotel Victor, KQ4QHV. This is Nick in Pendleton. I'll be in and out.
Okay, Nick, would you like to recognize N0TR? That is Tom in Greer. He's a neighbor of mine, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from me. Good to have you with us tonight, Tom. Tell Miss Bernice we said hello. Do appreciate you being here. And KO4QLG, that's Chris in Liberty. Sounding good as usual, Chris. Do appreciate you taking the time to spend a few moments with us this evening. KK4TRJ, that's Bill in Cowpens. Always sounding good into the repeater, Bill. Good, just like usual. Appreciate you being there. And KQ4QHV, that's Nick in Pendleton. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Nick. You're sounding good. Do you have any other stations in the Quebec through Tango group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, that's going to bring us to the patient group for Friday night, which is the uniform through for Friday night. A patient group for Saturday night, which is uniform through Zulu. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with U through a Z. Would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
Please check in Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo. That's K4XB. My name's Tommy. I'm located in southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening to you and everyone on net.
Okay, that last station that brought up the repeater, all you did was bring up the repeater. There's no audio, so check your radio out, check your mic, where your mic plugs in. Wiggle the connection around if you can. We'd like to get you checked in, but that was just keying up the repeater and no audio whatsoever. Net Control, I'd like to recognize K4XB, that is Tommy in southern Greenville County. Good to have you as night, Tommy. You sounded good. Appreciate you being there. Any other stations in the uniform through Zulu group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. I did hear some audio. I had to turn my volume up really, really high, and I heard the word cowpens. That's the only word I heard. Was anybody else able to hear anything? Can anybody relay that station in?
Dave, very, very weak.
Thanks, Tom. You want to try it one more time and see if you can raise the level of your voice? I don't know if you're in a place, if you got kids sleeping in the other room, don't do that, right? But if you can, and you can raise your voice a little bit louder or significantly louder, we might be able to get you checked in. Try it one more time.
For DJW, this is 4 Uniform Lima Papa, Alexander here in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. Switch to a handheld here. Is this any better?
Yes, Alexander, that is 100% better. I could hear. I had to turn my volume back down real quick. So, yeah, that one is working great. The other one needs work. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KO4ULP. That's Alexander in Traveler's Rest. Good to have you this night, Alexander. You're sounding good. It's good to hear you on the radio again. It's been a while. Appreciate you being here this evening. Let's go ahead now and open it up all the way through the alphabet, A through Z, Z through A. If you've got a letter in your call at all and you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW. Please check in Whiskey Alpha 4, Hotel November Tango, WA4HNT. The name is Alton Alpha Lima Tango Oscar November, ALTON. I'm over in Pendleton. I'm negative and negative, but I'll be listening.
W4DJW. Good to hear you. Please check in and out Kilo Juliet 4, Uniform Hotel X-Ray. KJ4UHX, Jamie. Also, Kilo Juliet 4, Yankee Lima November. KJ4YLN, that's my wife Sabrina. We're over in Chesney. check us in and out, Dave, but good to hear you, and 73 to everybody on the net.
W4DJW, please check in K4KAE, Kilo 4, Kilo Alpha Echo. This is Alice and Taylor. I'll be negative and negative, but I will listen to about the solar.
Net, please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also K3JOY, that's my pretty little bride, Joy. Joy said to tell you and Miss Amy hello. We'll just be in and out tonight. We're in easily. No traffic, no queue. Good evening to you, Miss Amy, and all on the net.
Okay, Net Control like to recognize WA4HNT. That is Alton in Pendleton. Good to have you with us tonight, Alton. You're sounding good. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. And KJ4UHX, Jamie, bring with him KJ4YLN. That's Miss Sabrina there in Chesney. Jamie, you sounding good. Tell Miss Sabrina we said hello. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. And K4KAE, that is Miss Alice in Taylor's. A lot of people that haven't checked in a while are checking in tonight. That's a good thing. Good to hear from you, Miss Alice. It's been a little while. And our Wednesday night net control operator and all things SwapNet, KI4DOS, that's Gary, bring with him K3JOY, that's Miss Joy there in Easley. And Gary, tell Miss Joy we said hello and do appreciate you checking in with us this evening and hope you and Miss Joy are having a fantastic weekend. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
DJW.
Net Control like to recognize KF4NXY. That's David bringing with him AF4SX. That's Miss Marie. They're in Possum Kingdom or Buzzard Roost. Is that Buzzard Roost because of the do your birds hear you when you say that? Do they know you're not talking about them, David?
Yeah, I could too. He knows we call him Buzzard from time to time. Yeah, but yeah, we keep our birds away from the buzzards, but They circle overhead outside from time to time.
Okay, well, I was just making sure he knew what was going on. Anyway, appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Hope you and Miss Marie are having a fantastic weekend. One last call all the way through the alphabet, A through Z, Z through A. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, this is W4DJW now securing the formal portion of the net. With our thanks for checking in, all stations wishing to secure may do so. And we'll now begin the RAG-CHU portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with periodic stops for check-ins between RAG-CHUs. And the first one up on the stump with the solar info, that is going to be Wayne. His call sign is KQ4AKE. You might want to jot that down if you're interested in solar information. K-Kilo Quebec 4 Alpha Kilo Echo. That's Wayne, and he's in Simpsonville. Wayne, take it away.
Thank you very much. So a little bit of background on me and kind of what I'm going to talk about tonight. Like Dave said, name's Wayne, call sign KQ4AKE. I'm a retired electrical controls engineer. I've been retired about 3 years ago and got my ham radio general license about 2 years ago. And I've always been kind of interested in solar power and solar generators and, you know, mostly portable type stuff. So I'm not a solar power expert by any means. I kind of dabble in this and more of an experimenter, and I've built a system that I'm going to talk about tonight. But the system that I did build actually turned out to be more useful than I expected it would, especially since getting into ham radio. So this little solar generator I built that I'm going to describe powers my ham radio base station, a laptop computer, desk lamp, floor lamp. I charge HTs with it, an iPad, and cell phone, and also Bauer tool rechargeable batteries, stuff like that. So I really use this thing about every day. And in fact, it's powering the radio that I'm talking on right now. So anyway, let me stop there and see if this is coming through okay and sounds okay and all that good stuff.
Well, Wayne, for me, you're full scale, full quieting, sounds good. No background noise, nothing. It's you're right on the mark.
So I kind of outlined what I was going to talk about tonight, and I got it broken down into seven sections of what I'm going to cover, basically. And those seven sections are kind of the design goals of this thing, the design and testing of the actual unit, and then the system components that I used in the unit. And then probably the section might be most interesting is lessons learned, kind of what I picked up along the way and done a lot of reading and research and testing. And, you know, luckily so far I haven't let the blue smoke out of any components, so don't have that experience yet. But a lot of stuff I learned about it. And then a little bit on my plans for the next system I'm planning to build. And then at the end, you know, questions, comments, if anybody wants more info or whatever. So I'll share that. So I'll let this drop for just a second, and then I'll get into kind of the design goals of this system. The idea behind this system that I built was really to build something fairly inexpensive just to gain experience. It wasn't really intended to be, you know, maximum efficiency or the best thing I could possibly build. It was more of an experiment to learn about solar power and batteries and all that kind of thing. And I actually based it on Harbor Freight's little 100-watt solar panel kit that they have. I think it's like $120 or $160, something like that. It comes with a little inexpensive charge controller and four solar panels and some cables and that kind of thing. So that's what I based it on. I wanted it to be portable, and what I ended up doing was building the whole thing in three of these plastic rigid toolboxes that you see at Lowe's. The bottom box has got wheels on it, and then there's a middle box that I've used for storage for cables. And then the top box actually has most all of the components in it. It has a battery in it and all that, which I'll get into that a little bit. And another design goal was I just wanted to be able to power small AC and DC loads from this thing, kind of, you know, if the power goes out, be able to charge phones, run a lamp, that kind of thing. And the other thing I wanted to do was fully instrument it so I could monitor what was going on with the batteries and the charging and all that kind of thing. And also, you know, I'm an instrumentation and controls engineer, so I like lots of instrumentation. So that was kind of, you know, right up my alley. I'll let this drop again for a second. Anybody have comments, Dave? Everything still sound good?
Everything sounds good, but we did get an Echolink station drop in there. So let me go ahead and recognize that Echolink station, and then you can pick it back up from there. So we'll, or any other stations that might want to check in at the same time. So appreciate that little break. Echolink station is only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Good evening again, Dave. Check in. Kilo Alpha 4, Papa Quebec Alpha. KA4PQA, Stephen and Greenwood. No traffic and no right you.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KA4PQA. That is Stephen over Echo Link. Sounding good this evening, Stephen. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Do we have any other stations on the RF that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Does not look like we have any at the moment, Wayne, so go ahead, pick back up where you were. Appreciate it. W4DJW.
So the next little section here is on the design and testing of the unit that I built. So I started out the design of this thing with an electrical schematic that I actually drew on a big piece of packing paper with pencil because I don't have CAD capabilities here. So I just sketched it out, and it's been through lots of modifications, revisions over the last couple of years. I did finally redo the schematic in Excel, with drawing in Excel, which isn't all that efficient, but, you know, it works for me. So now the wiring diagram is actually on revision number 9, so there's been lots of changes along the way. So when I started building this thing, I bought all the components, and I actually mocked it up on a big piece of plywood laying out on a tool bench and just mounted things to the piece of plywood and wired it all up and tested it out that way. And then once I had it kind of proven out and made sure that it would work the way I wanted it to, I managed to shoehorn the whole thing into those three toolboxes. So the top toolbox actually has an internal plywood structure, and the idea behind that is all the components are mounted on the plywood structure, and I can take that plywood structure and just drop it into the plastic toolbox and close the lid, and it's more or less easily removable. There's receptacles and things like that through the side of the toolbox, which makes it not real easy to take it out, but it is doable that way. So the top box has, you know, one battery in it. It has all the instrumentation in it. It has an inverter in it and all that kind of thing. The middle box is just storage for cables and adapters and that kind of stuff. And then the bottom box is one of these boxes with the handle and the wheels on it, so I can stack the boxes up and roll it around on that bottom box, so it makes it a little bit easier to move. The toolboxes are not what I would call waterproof, which would be great for a portable system, but there's just too many holes in the box and stuff, so it's not really waterproof, but it is kind of splash resistant. I wouldn't really hesitate to put it out in a light rain with the lid closed and use it that way. And all three boxes probably weigh about 90 pounds with the two batteries in there, but the top box can be disconnected from the bottom boxes and carried around by itself, and it weighs about 60 pounds, and it's kind of self-contained. The only thing you're really missing, you know, without the bottom box is the second battery. So that's kind of the end of the design and testing section here. I'll let this drop, and if anybody else has checked in, I'll give an opportunity for that. So the next section is on the system components, you know, what I actually have in the system, in case anybody's kind of interested in what's in there and what parts and pieces are there. So I've got two 55-amp-hour AGM batteries, like I said, one in the top box, one in the bottom box, and they're connected with quick disconnect plugs, so it can be easily pulled apart with the boxes separated. For solar panels, I've got eight of the 25-watt Harbor Freight panels, and I have two 100-watt Harbor Freight panels for a total of 400 watts connected to this thing. And those panels basically sit out in front of my house, and the cable from the panels is run into this box in my office, actually right now through a hole in the wall coming into the house. So the charge controller I'm using was originally the Harbor Freight one, but I bought an Echo-worthy 30-amp PWM-type charge controller, and the Harbor Freight one's only good for 10 amps, and when I added all those other solar panels, I needed more amperage capacity, so I went with a 30-amp controller. There's also a 10-amp AC battery charger, so the batteries can be charged from, you know, house current if need be. There's an internal 800-watt modified sine wave inverter in the top box for powering AC loads, and I also added a 1,500-watt pure sine wave inverter that plugs into the box with quick disconnect plugs so that I can power, you know, electronic devices and computers, things like that, that need pure sine wave power. There's a 12-volt buck boost voltage converter in there to power devices that have to have exactly 12 volts to power them. And then there's a main fuse block and some other miscellaneous fuses. There's a DC charge meter and shunt, a DC load meter and shunt, so I can see what's going into the batteries and what's coming out of the batteries. And then an AC load meter, a low voltage alarm, and a cooling fan. So that's kind of what's the components that are in there, along with a bunch of switches and connectors and things like that. And I'll let this drop again. This is KQ4AKE. Dave, we still doing okay with the way this sounds and all that?
Yeah, Wayne, we're doing good. No problems whatsoever. And when you get to questions, I do have a question, but I want to leave space for somebody else who has questions to go before me. So I'll ask my questions last. But when you were talking about it, it reminded me of a question that I have for you. But no, everything's good so far. Let me check and see if there's any other stations that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW. Looks like we don't. Go ahead, Wayne, back to you. W4DJW, back to KQ4AKE.
4AKE again. Thank you, Dave. The next section is a little bit about the system capacity and capability, kind of what will this thing do. So the combined battery capacity of this thing with the two AGM batteries is about 800 watt hours, which roughly translated, you know, you could power 800 watts for an hour or 1 watt for 800 hours. Doesn't really work that way, but kind of gives you an idea. I've had the system carrying a 140 watt load, like, you know, a few light bulbs and some other stuff, which pulled about 11.6 amps for about 5.5 hours with no battery charging, just to give you an idea of how much power it will provide for how long. I also did some testing one day to kind of say, okay, if grid's down and there's no electrical power and it's going to be that way for 4 or 5 days, you know, what can I run off of this thing? So with the solar panels being out there in the yard. So on a typical week, I was able to run my computer and charge phones and run lights and that kind of stuff for about 5 or 6 days with typical amount of daylight each day. And I powered a laptop, a router, a cable modem, the ham radio, desk lamps, charged the phone and the iPad, and all kinds of little miscellaneous things like that. So with this system I designed, I can kind of limp by and run the office at least for an extended period of time, assuming that it doesn't rain or is not real overcast for, you know, a week straight. So not running any refrigerators, not running heating or air conditioning or anything like that on this system is too small for that. But just for communications and that kind of stuff, I was able to do that. And on a typical day, you know, day-to-day, normal use, I use power from it for 5 or 6 hours, you know, each night, and during the day it fully charges the batteries up. And with these solar panels, even when it's like overcast and rainy, I still see 2 or 3 amps going into the batteries with these panels out there. So you don't have to have 100% direct nice sunlight to get power out of these solar panels. They will generate power even when it's overcast. Not as much, but they will generate power. And just kind of as an example of that, in the last several months I've been using this system every day, and I've only plugged in the AC battery charger like once or twice in the last couple of months. It just doesn't need it. It stays pretty well charged up. Of course, that's all dependent on how much load you have and how much sun you have, but typically speaking, the stuff I power from this, it maintains itself just with the solar panels. So I'll let this drop, and the next section is kind of lessons learned, what I kind of learned from doing all of this stuff. Some things that I kind of learned along the way from doing these experiments and trying things out, and not really any particular order, but some stuff that, you know, people might find of interest. First off, and it's kind of an obvious thing, the alignment of the panels to the sun really affects the amount of power that the panels will produce. And I've got my panels kind of in a curve out in the yard, and they're kind of pointed southwest, I guess it is, so it catches some morning sun and most of the afternoon sun. And I move them about once or twice a year for summer and winter. Some people use trackers to make the panels always align with the sun so it stays perfectly aligned and it kind of gives maximum, you know, efficiency out of the panels. But, you know, that involves more expenditure and more maintenance and more equipment and that kind of stuff. So I just haven't really done anything with that yet. Another point is when designing these systems, the wire size is really important. You know, as everybody knows, a bigger wire will carry more amps, but also a bigger wire has less voltage drop for long runs. So if you're going to run, you know, your wire from the solar panel into the solar charge controller 50 or 100 feet, then you have to start thinking about, well, I'm going to have voltage loss and resistance in that wire. And the longer the run is, basically the heavier gauge wire you want to use. And there's ampacity tables that kind of account for all that that are really handy to look at. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, wire is not just wire. There's kind of a science behind that, too. Another thing is my system is a 12-volt system. So the batteries are 12 volts. The solar panels are basically 12 volts. And for a given amount of power, the higher the voltage you need, which means the smaller the wires can be. So ideally you would have a higher voltage system than 12 volts if you're going to do much with it at all, like a 24 volt or a 48 volt battery system and solar panels connected to supply that voltage. And then your wire cost goes down when you do that. So there's some considerations about what voltage system to use when you're designing one of these. And I'm going to let this drop for just a second and see if anybody has comments or check-ins, but then I'll continue on with lessons learned stuff.
Thanks, Wayne. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, any questions so far for Wayne? Okay, Wayne, I think you may have answered my question in your recap, your analysis of what you did, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyway when you get to the end. W4DJW, back to KQ4AKE.
4AKE, yeah, Dave, hold on to that question. I'll try to answer it at the end. I probably don't have all the answers to everything for sure, but I'll give you an opinion anyhow. So the next item I have is, solar charge controllers. There's two basic types. One is a pulse width modulated, or called PWM charge controller, and the other is an MPPT, maximum power point tracking type charge controller. And there's all different varieties of both types, and there's all different costs. But basically, these charge controllers take the voltage and current or power from the solar panels, and they control it such that they charge the charge controller can charge the battery properly and send the correct voltage to the batteries and not overcharge them or, you know, that kind of thing. So they're little electronic units that basically interface between the solar panels and the batteries. The PWM charge controllers are less expensive than the MPPTs, but they are not as efficient. Really, a better way to do it is to use the MPPT type charge controller because it gets more power to the battery under any given condition than the other type does. But of course, there's a little more expense with that. And again, there's all different costs of these things. I guess one other comment is sometimes you see units that are advertised as MPPT, but I understand some of them are not really maximum power point tracking type controllers, so you kind of have to be careful what you buy, or, you know, buy it from a really reputable company. And also, of course, with ham radio stuff, and this kind of gets into the next item, which is inverters, you have to worry about RF noise, you know, how much electrical noise and RF noise these units are going to generate. Some of them are more noisy than others. Sometimes some of the documentation on it will talk about that. Sometimes it won't. On my particular system, I did have some electrical noise on HF frequencies when the solar panels were producing power, and I got rid of most of that by using ferrite beads on the cables and also moving the solar generator across the room about 10 feet away from where the radio is. And that worked for me under my circumstances, but, you know, as you know, electrical noise and RF noise is kind of a gremlin that you just kind of have to handle on a case-by-case basis. So the next item is inverters. So inverters change the battery DC voltage to AC power that, you know, AC devices can use, like, you know, your fans and AC lights and things like that. So there's modified sine wave inverters and there's pure sine wave inverters. Again, there's two different types. And the modified sine wave inverters are very inexpensive usually, and the pure sine wave inverters cost more money, but the pure sine wave inverters give you a sine wave for power that looks like what the power company produces. The modified sine wave inverter gives kind of a square wave or a choppy wave, and that's fine for some devices, but other devices will either get hot or get noisy or not run well on a modified sine wave inverter. So my system has a modified sine wave inverter inside the box that I've run like a pole saw or fans and that kind of stuff out in the yard with. But I would not, you know, think about plugging, like, my laptop into it or monitors or, you know, any kind of sensitive electronic devices. So that's what I use that pure sine wave inverter for. Another lesson learned that I found out kind of the hard way, I bought a lot of electrical connectors and lugs and stuff off Amazon because they're really easy to find and they're really cheap and you can get, you know, 10,000 of them for $8. A lot of it's made out of thin metal. It's not very well made. I bought some big lugs, you know, for battery cables, and they don't really crimp very well, and the metal's really thin. So next system is going to be all industrial-grade components. And just kind of as an example, you know, I bought a box of battery cable lugs on Amazon for something like $15, and there were like 50 lugs in there of various sizes. But if you go down to an electrical supply place and buy, you know, a battery lug for a number 4 cable, they're like $4 a piece, you know? So, and they're much heavier metal, and they crimp a lot better, and they last a lot longer. So that's just something else to think about when you're specking out components and buying things. Amazon's really easy and expensive and quick, but maybe some of that stuff's not the greatest quality in the world, depending on where it comes from. And I'm going to let this drop again for a minute. Lesson learned, and I found this out. You can never have too many power outlets on your box, whatever you build. If you're planning to put two AC outlets on it, put six. And if you're going to have two USB ports like I started out with, you really want about eight, you know, because it's amazing the things you're going to want to plug into this thing while the sun is shining and it's making power. And being restricted to the number of outlets you have is kind of a pain in the neck when you actually start using the thing. So the more electrical outlets you got, the better in general. And I've got, you know, USB outlets and 12-volt automotive outlets and 120-volt AC outlets on it. And the next system is going to have a lot more of all of that stuff. Next item I had was, as far as fusing goes, you want to make sure that all the wires and circuits are properly fused. Basically, you don't want something to short out in the box that's going to burn a wire instead of blowing a fuse. So everywhere where I have any power distribution, basically all the wires are fused, unless they're really small wires and they can't develop any current for some reason. But you really want to be careful with that, because like my top box is very full of components and it is very full of wires. Like, you really can't even stick your hand in there. It's so dense. And if a wire burns up in there, it's going to do a lot of damage to other wires and all that. So you really don't want that. A lot better off to just pop a fuse. That's kind of good electrical design anyhow. But, of course, the other thing is these batteries can put out hundreds of amps if they're shorted out. So coming right off the battery positive post, you want a big fuse there, you know, to protect the wire coming off the battery. And kind of related to that is you want to make sure you buy a big enough box or control or enclosure to put this stuff in. I thought mine was going to be very neat, and the wire was all going to be run very carefully and nice right angle turns and all that, and I hate to tell you what it looks like now. It looks like rats got in there and built a nest in there with wires, because it's really jam-packed and there was no way to make it very neat. So another thing I did was use complete instrumentation, so I can tell what's going in the batteries, what's coming out of the batteries, what the system voltages are, how many watts are going in and out, all of that kind of stuff. You can buy some pretty nice, inexpensive meters and stuff that show you all that kind of thing. A lot of systems I've seen online on YouTube, all they show you is battery voltage, and that tells you about a quarter of the story that you're really interested in. So the more instrumentation you have, the more you know what's going on, and the more you're able to tell, you know, how long your batteries are going to last and all that kind of stuff. Let me let this drop again for a second. Two more items on the lessons learned. This whole thing was a learning experience, and the biggest part of this talk is what I learned from it. So hopefully the next system will be a lot better. So the next thing I had is, yeah, I've seen a lot of people talk about, well, their solar panels are rated at 100 watts, but they only put out 20 watts, so they're junk or whatever, and, you know, that it's false advertising and all that kind of stuff. I've seen a lot of comments like that. You see them on the Harbor Freight website. You see them on Amazon. You see them everywhere you look. And something that you kind of have to realize with solar panels is those solar panels will only put out the voltage and current that can go someplace. So if you've got 1,000 watts of solar panels out there and you've got them connected to a battery that's already fully charged up or close to full, it's not going to put 1,000 watts into that battery because the battery's full. It's kind of like trying to put more air pressure into a tank that's already pressurized. And I've seen lots of comments say, oh, these only put out 20 watts. Well, what was your battery charge? You know, what kind of condition was the battery in? Were you trying to put that power somewhere where there was nowhere to put it? So, like my system, I've got 400 watts of panels out there, but the batteries virtually, I never let them go down below like 12 volts. So they're usually pretty well topped up all the time. So the most watts I ever see going into those batteries is about 150 watts when they're kind of, I've been using them a lot, with 400 watts of panels. Now, if I ran it down to 10 volts on the batteries, which I won't do because you can damage the batteries by running them down too low, they might put out 400 watts, but, you know, I don't want to see that. So just something else to think about when you're designing it and figuring out what what your panels are doing, the state of charge of the battery really counts for a lot with how much power you can put into those batteries. So that kind of leads into batteries. There's all kinds of different batteries you can buy. My system uses AGM batteries. They're absorbed glass mat, I think it stands for, absorbed glass mat batteries. They're sealed up lead acid batteries, basically. It's no maintenance. They're just a block of plastic. They're not the most efficient battery, and you do have to be careful you don't discharge them too much. If you let the battery voltage drop down to like 10 or 11 volts, it can cause the battery to be damaged long term. Lithium iron phosphate batteries, on the other hand, cost more, but they're much more capable, and they typically have battery management systems built into them, which will prevent the battery from being damaged by discharging. Basically, when it gets so far discharged, the battery management system shuts the battery off, and it just shuts off the load. So it's got electronics in the battery that kind of protect the battery. So they can be discharged much further than AGM batteries without damaging them. And also, these lithium iron phosphate batteries weigh a whole lot less than AGM batteries. Like, I don't know what the spec is, but it's probably like half as much weight for the same amount of power. So next system will be, you know, the lithium batteries and not AGM batteries. But again, the original design was cheap and learned something, so, you know, served its purpose there. And I'm going to let this drop again for a second. I am getting to the end of this thing, so it's not going to go on till midnight, I promise. So next thing is solar panels. These solar panels that I have that I bought from Harbor Freight are the 25-watt panels are called amorphous solar panels, and the 100-watt panels I have are monocrystalline solar panels. There's also a polycrystalline solar panel available, and these are different designs, and they're basically made different ways when they manufacture them. The technology for manufacturing the panel is different, and they all have pros and cons. Some are more efficient than others. Some are more fragile than others. I know because I have the amorphous panels. The amorphous panels are not very efficient. Like, they don't put out tons of power in bright sunlight. But one thing they do very well is they do start generating power under very low light conditions. So, again, it's a trade-off like most things are. And the point is, there's a lot to learn about solar panels if you want to design a system. You know, there's a lot of information on the Internet you can dig in and see, you know, what the efficiency ratings are of the different types and what the pros and cons are and all that kind of thing. And then the last lesson learned I've got listed here doesn't really have to do a whole lot with the solar generator itself, but a lot of folks, when they talk about solar power, they say, you know, the thought comes into their head, and it came into my head, well, I'll just turn the whole house into solar power, you know. And you see houses going down the road, and they got a bunch of solar panels on the roof of the house, and you think, oh, that house is running on solar power, you know. In most cases, that's not really what's going on. I live in a neighborhood where almost everybody except me, actually, has solar panels on the roof, and nobody in the neighborhood has any batteries. So what they're doing with these solar panels is they're wired in to the power company, and they're selling power to the power company. But there is no capability as far as solar panels if the grid goes down. So if utility power shuts off, those solar panels basically become ineffective. They're not really doing anything. And the reason for that is, you know, enough batteries and enough inverters to power your whole house, you're talking about lots and lots and lots of dollars. And it's just not, for most people, economically feasible to do that. I started looking at, you know, what it would take to power a whole lot of loads in my house. And when you get up to like $30,000 worth of equipment, it gets to the point where, yeah, I'm not going to do that. It's possible to do it. I've seen places that were way out in remote areas where there was no utility power. I've watched a video about a farm where the guy's got his own generators and his own solar system, and they have no utility power at all. And they run the whole farm on their own power, but it's tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment to be able to do that kind of thing. So for most people, it just doesn't make sense to power the whole house and take it off grid and you know, use batteries and inverters and solar panels to replace utility power. so I'll let this drop. That was the last lesson learned item. And then I've just got a little bit about kind of plans for the next system, and then I'll take questions and try to answer them. Any comments? So let me try to finish this up in the next couple of minutes here. So I'm planning to build another system that's a little bit more capable. I'd like to be able to build a system that can carry some critical household loads, like if we have an ice storm and the power goes out for a few days. I'd like to be able to run, you know, the refrigerator and freezer and maybe the gas furnace on batteries and solar and inverters. And if you kind of carefully figure out your loads and manage the loads properly, that's economically feasible, I think, to do that. So my next system, I'm planning to do that. It probably will not be a portable system, because between the batteries and the charge controllers and all that, it'll just be too big to be portable. I'm thinking I'll probably end up with 2,000 to 3,000 watts of solar panels mounted on a roof of a building. And you know, right now I have 400 watts. I'm going to have at least 2,000 watts of solar panels to be able to, you know, run these loads. It will use an MPP-type solar charge controller for the, you know, higher efficiency. It'll have lithium iron phosphate batteries because, you know, they're more efficient and they're lighter, and they have built-in protection on them, so it's much a better solution. And also it'll be either a 24 or 48 volt DC system to reduce the wire size requirements and all that. And also there's lots of solar charge controllers that have wireless communications capabilities built into them, so you can monitor what the system's doing, you know, on your phone, kind of like you might with your home security system or whatever. So I'll probably have some type of wireless communication so I can see what's going on with the system, you know, remotely. So that's kind of it for the plans. That's as far as I've gotten on the next system here. I haven't really done much work on it. So anyhow, I'll take some questions if anybody has any. I do want to offer my email address is on QRZ.com, and I do have a wiring diagram that I can share electronically, and I've also written the operations and maintenance manual on this thing that describes how it works and what it does and what it won't do, and you know, how to set the meters and all that kind of stuff. So if anybody's interested in that, I'll be happy to email it to you with the understanding that, you know, if you build one of these and it blows up, I don't know anything about you, and I've never heard of you before. So it's for educational purposes only. You know, my standard warranty is if it blows up, you get to keep all the pieces, and that's it. So with that said, any questions from anybody?
Yeah, 4LCI's got a question.